A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud.
John Nimitz
and David Lauer.
And this is a show of lovely things and hateful things. We have topics. It could be on either side of that spectrum, but then it could be in the middle. It could be indifference, ambivalence, things we're on the fence about. And we have mystery topics for ourselves, but those will fall into those three categories. But before we do any of that, though, we talk about old topics, and we call this segment the Daysha Fuse. Go ahead, Dave.
All right, so this topic, I don't think I've ever talked about it, at least not to my memory. I think you guys talked about it with Matt. Caffeinated beverages. So for Christmas, I just got a Bun coffee maker. And Bun is the brand name. It's BUNN. And it's an awesome coffee maker. It's like $100 or something. It's expensive, and but they're awesome because you put your coffee in the thing, you pour your water in, and it just starts spitting out the coffee immediately. It doesn't take any time. You can make a full cup of coffee like lightning fast. I really like it. We just got it at Christmas, and it's been a couple weeks now, and I've been taking coffee to work. Normally, I don't ever drink coffee. I don't, because I used to drink coffee, but it's like I would go to the coffee shop at my work and spend $4, $5, or $6 on a cup of coffee or a cappuccino or like a cafe mocha and spend a lot of money on it. And it was just like, it costs too much money. I'm not doing this anymore. So I stopped. But now that I can just make coffee at home for cheap, I just bring like a big thermos to work filled with coffee. And I feel like it's gonna help me like lose weight too, because I don't even eat breakfast anymore. And I have tons of energy in the morning from all the caffeine. My heart's just going. It's probably a little too much caffeine. I probably need to do like the half decaf stuff. But I like it because it's like an appetite suppressant where I'm not eating breakfast, and so I feel like I lose weight and I'm not eating like eggs and bacon and or donuts or cereal, like all these empty calories that I don't really need. And like I won't even eat my lunch until like 1 or like 1:30 in the afternoon, and you know I get to work at 7 in the morning, and I'm like, it's like a good like extended fast where I'm just drinking coffee. And I don't know, I kind of like drinking coffee, and I see the appeal of it now with a good coffee maker.
Your thermos, is it one of those big fucking, or it went viral, right? What was that big thermos?
Those big Stanleys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have one of those, but I have something that's almost as big, but it's like a Yeti. I think it's designed for, well, you can use it for cold or hot beverages, but I would like one of those Stanleys, but I think those are expensive. I'm not going to spend the money on it though.
I can't drink coffee anymore, or caffeine. I think I consume so much of it now I can't anymore. So that's how much I did love caffeine. Still do. I still yearn for that fucking that rush and stuff like that. You know, it
Yeah, you
sucks.
build a tolerance for it, so then you need more and more, right?
Man, like a
Yeah,
goddamn smack addict.
I'm
Addict.
definitely addicted to caffeine, but not in a way that it seems to have ever caused a problem, so I guess I don't mind that much. A couple of years ago, I was like, oh, should I like detox off of caffeine? And I'm just like, oh, now I'm just like crabby in the afternoon, and this sucks. I'm like, who cares? I'll just be addicted to caffeine.
Wow.
I want to start taking my blood pressure, like with no caffeine and then with caffeine, because I bet you it's way higher.
Yeah, shit. I miss it so much. God damn it. There was a food that built America on, and it was about the rise of Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, I just want to go. It was amazing to wake up. And maybe that's the first thing you consume is fucking caffeine. And it's just wonderful. And I can't do it anymore. You know, like part of me is like, who am I now? Like I used to have, I mean, I wouldn't drink coffee, but I was more of an energy drink dude. But that would always be part of the recording ritual. I would have energy drink, and then I would smoke some weed, motherfuckers, and then I would have like a beer. And now I just have beer and weed, and it's sad. No, it's still fun. It's just, God damn it, I miss caffeine so goddamn much. It sucks.
Maybe you need to get like a tea kettle and make some sleepy time tea, non-caffeinated or decaf.
Yeah, get some chamomile up in this bitch. Yeah.
I
That
think
lavender.
when I first got diagnosed with the high blood pressure, they were like, don't completely just cut out all caffeine, just do it gradually. So I started drinking green teas, and that was okay. I don't know. It's so annoying. I pine for caffeine.
I like it a lot. Like I'm like beginner's high where I'm like, this is so exciting, guys. I'm doing this new thing. It's called caffeine and you guys got to give it a try.
Pretty soon you'll be Jesse Spano and Saved by
Oh,
the
yeah.
Bell.
Oh, I'm so excited.
They've been helping me stay up real late and study.
Wasn't it originally, it wasn't caffeine pills. It was something more hardcore, but they
I
were
think it was
like,
supposed to be cocaine, but
oh shit, really?
they didn't want to do that.
Oh my God. And she would later go on to do that Showgirls movie. Awful Showgirls. You know what? Let's get off of this. Let's start the show, right?
Yeah,
John,
let's
you are
pour
right.
another cup.
John, I think you start.
I hate contronyms. These are words that mean a thing, and then they also mean the opposite of the thing. Why do they exist? Like, some of the examples that you can kind of run into on a not uncommon basis that are like shelled when you're talking about like nuts or something. I'll have some shelled nuts. Like, well, does that mean that they have a shell on them, or does it mean that somebody took the shells off? It could literally mean either, so it's a meaningless word. Same with like pitted, as in like pitted olives or whatever. Are they pitted because somebody pitted them, or because they have pits in them? There's
I
a
think I did
word.
that with cherries once. I got pitted cherries, and I'm like, oh, it doesn't have the pit, but no, it did.
Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, if it says that on the jar, it means nothing. Like it gives you no information to make your decision on. There's a term nonplussed, which is an awesome word I would like to use, but it literally could mean either like, oh yeah, it just blew off me. Like it didn't bother me. I was nonplussed. But it also could mean like, oh man, I was like shaken by that. I was like nonplussed. Like it could mean either of those things, so I never get to use it. When people say like I'm down, like it could either mean like, yeah, I'm down, like I'll do that, or like, no, I'm down on that, like no way, I'm not gonna do that. There's a ton of them. I looked them up, but those are like the examples that I run into somewhat regularly.
Newest example I want to throw out there, fuck with,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
I mean, now the more popular is like, oh, I do listen to that. I do participate with that thing. Whereas before it's like, oh, I fuck with that as in like I mess it up. I try and sabotage it or something like that,
Yeah, that's a good one.
buckle. You could either buckle as in like, oh, it's fastened, or it actually gave out and it
Man.
buckled. That's super
Yeah,
confusing.
that's what I've heard. I don't remember what it was, some movie or something, but they're like, yeah, he buckled like a belt. Where it's like using the collapse definition, but like it's such a clever phrase.
Clip. It could mean like you're cutting something, or it could mean like it's put it fastening it together again, but
Oh yeah, that's
also
right.
it's also a speed, right? He moved at a clip or something.
Yeah.
So bizarre. And then custom, right? It's like I made this. It could either mean you had it built specifically, or that's just how it always is, right? Like
Oh
when it
yeah,
comes
like
to our
that's
product.
the custom, that's tradition. But yeah, I see what you mean. Yep.
Super annoying. I didn't write it down, but I read that there's another one, apology. That's a thing, contronym. I just don't remember what it was. It was so ridiculous. I thought it was being made up, you know? Like I believed all these other contronyms until it came to apology, because I'm like, I've only heard it used that one specific way.
Well, yeah, I know like in religion, apologetics is kind of like the like standing up for the religion or like trying to like convince people that like, oh, you know, this makes sense. Like this is like kind of defending is maybe the word I'm trying to think of. Whereas like, yeah, we normally think of apology as like, oh, I messed up. I'm sorry.
That's right. Like I could be like, Dave's a real Joe Rogan
Yeah,
apologist.
exactly. Yep.
You're a defender. Yeah. Like,
Oh.
is novel, because like novel means like it's new, but it also seems like it's like old and antiquated. Like, I don't know if it is, or maybe just like the definition in my head was different than what the actual meaning is. But there's sanction. Like, you sanction something means to like boycott something, but it could also, like, you can sanction a fight, which means you're approving something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, like we
right.
have sanctions on Russia and we've sanctioned those sanctions.
Yeah. And then the word strike, like when it comes to sports,
Oh,
like
yeah.
in baseball, a strike is when you swing and miss. But then, like, in bowling, if you get a strike, that means you hit them and you hit all of them. So like a strike, I don't know. It's like, but it's like strike means to hit something, but why would in baseball it means when you actually swung and missed? How is it a strike? Makes no
Right, and
sense.
like you want to strike out at in the 10th frame of the bowling game.
Dust. You could like brush things off of something, or you sprinkle it on something. Like, it's like, okay, so did you dig deeper into this? Like, why does this exist? Is this just a melding of different cultures and customs who use English, I guess? Is that where what happens?
I think it, yeah, it's different for all of them. Like it's, yeah, it could be like one culture uses a term one way and the other one uses a different way. There's a lot of them where like nonplussed, I think like it means one thing in the UK versus in the United States. Like I think like moot point, like over here it means like, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. Like it's a moot point. Whereas I think in UK, I could be wrong about this, but I think it means like this is the important point.
Wow.
It could be just like, you know, like with the dust example, like, well, what do you do with dust? You either sprinkle it on top of stuff or you get rid of it. So it just has both of those meanings. But yeah, it would be nice if it was consistent, like if we only said de-pitted and we knew that it meant like, oh, somebody took the pits out.
Yeah.
I would assume it's like just like if you look at like the origin of languages, where there's like the family tree of languages, and you have like English, it goes back to like Germanic, and then the Germanic goes back to Latin, but there's like 60 different like language types in between just those three, and you're using like English is also using French words and German words and Spanish words and Latin words, and they have all these different origins. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of what happens when you try to make a language out of, you know, a thousand other languages. There's just everything has so many different meanings.
Yeah, assimilate. Assimilate. That's what's going to happen, right? When America's a melting pot, we're gonna have to use some fucking different words and stuff.
Have to
That's
use all
true.
this Gen Z slang.
I fuck with that. All right, should we a segue challenge?
Yeah, I'm good on this for now. Maybe I'll bring it up in our next bi-weekly get together.
Okay, so someone has to go. Dave, you want to go or should I?
I can go.
All right.
I have a mystery topic.
Boo-boo-boo.
I am on the fence about a certain kind of like movie franchise. Planet of the Apes.
All
I'm
right.
on the fence about it. Like, I like them a lot, but at the same time, like, they mean nothing to me. And it's like every time I watch a Planet of the Apes movie, I really enjoy it. I just watched the most recent one, and it was good. But at the same time, like, the beginning of it is like spoiler alert if you haven't, I don't even remember the name. It was like Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes or
Oh my
something.
God. Who cares? Like,
But
they're
like,
all wordy.
yeah, the names of these movies are hard to keep track of. But it's like it's 200 or generations in the future from Caesar, who was like the
Whoa.
main ape in like the previous newer movies. And there's a new leader now, but this guy's a bad leader and nobody likes him. So they kind of like overthrow him and get rid of him. And then that's the end of the movie, and you're like, okay, I didn't, nothing happened. And then like in the last 5 minutes of the movie, they like go to some, the human who's there like goes to some underground bunker where she found like this hard drive, and she gives this hard drive, and they're trying to use all this old technology, and then they plug it into the system, and then they're able to use these giant satellites or radio, not satellites, but radio towers, and they're able to contact somebody else who's somewhere else in the country, and they're like, I can hear you. There's someone else out there. And then that's the end of the movie. And I'm like, that was the most exciting part, was you finding out that there's someone else out there. But you just like shoehorned it into the last 5 minutes of the movie, and that was the only thing that, like, I don't know. It was, I don't know. They should have had more of that story going along in the movie rather than just like, oh, this is the bad leader, and I don't know. But like overall, the franchise, I used to own like all the DVDs, like of all the originals from like the 60s and 70s, and there was like eight or nine of these movies. And some of them were good, some of them were pretty bad. But they were always like fascinating to me because it's like a weird sci-fi, and it's kind of like that TV show, The Twilight Zone. It's kind of got that feel to it. So I like them. I say I'm on the fence because like I like it, but I don't love it. But they are fascinating, and I generally more time, like odds are I'll probably like the movie.
What about Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes?
I thought it was good. It got so much hate. I didn't understand it. Like, I thought it was good. It's actually one of my ones that I like more. And it's probably because that was like one of the first ones I watched that got me into the series. Because it was kind of just a remake, but they did a few things differently. And it had like, who was it? Mark Wahlberg in it. I think it was the first Mark Wahlberg movie I ever watched. So I don't know. But like, I guess you looking back, you're like, oh, it wasn't that good at acting. And it's like, well, I mean, it's Mark Wahlberg. What do you expect? Like,
I think the prosthetics in that movie is by far the best out of the entire franchise, but yeah, the story was kind of weak. And of course, I don't really care for Mark. But that fucking ending where it's like the Lincoln Memorial, they just put a monkey face on it instead, and it's like, oh my God, this is Earth or whatever, you know? Yeah.
and it like, if I remember correctly, it didn't even make sense because you're supposed to be on Earth, but at the same time, when you looked up at the sky, there was like two moons. So like, how are
Oh.
you on Earth if there's two moons in the sky? It's like you have to be like in an alternate reality or something. But it's, I don't know, like if you, it just kind of gives like the fans tons of things to talk about because you're like, oh, like what theory do you have? Do you think they're really on Earth, or maybe it's just like a universe, but like an alternate universe somewhere else across the galaxy?
I've only seen one Planet of the Apes. It was, or no, two, I guess. I saw the Tim Burton, but then I saw the sequel of, again, who the fuck knows, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I think it's right after that first one with computer generated Caesar. Then it's that sequel, and that's where he's like a leader, and it was really weird parallels to Martin Luther King. I thought that was a very odd choice because he even gets assassinated on a balcony, and you're like, the historical, I don't know, it's fucking weird. John, have you watched the originals?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the OG one back when I was in high school. Damn dirty apes. Watched the Tim Burton one, not in theaters, but not long after it came out. And then I think I saw one other random one. I couldn't even tell you which one it was for reasons already mentioned. I could see diving into the series at some point. Like I could imagine just kind of going through them all, but so far I have not been inspired to do so.
The other thing I associate with Planet of the Apes, because I've never seen the original, I remember we borrowed a recorded tape from one of our neighbors. So like on the spine of it's just written like three movies that's recorded on the thing, and one of them was Planet of the Apes. But it was a shitty copy, and like again, the 70s is just so dirty, and I think that's when that first one was made, maybe late 60s. So it just didn't look appealing to me at all. And it was just Uncanny Valley, like the mask were like, hello, my name's Caesar or whatever, you know? It was just a little odd. So I've never really watched them. Although I kind of want to. There's an actor that I like, but he plays one of the apes, the talking. Oh yeah. What's his name? God damn it. He's in another movie, but Peter. Whatever. Planet of the Apes. Anything else?
Nothing really. That one Dawn of the Planet of the Apes that you were saying you didn't like, that one was definitely my least favorite movie. It was the second new release one. It came out in like 2015, 2016, somewhere around there. Yeah, that one was definitely the worst. It had weird vibes to it, and yeah, it was like they were trying to like parallel Earth events on it, and I don't like you're a separate universe. Just like it's like watching Avatar, and they're like trying to like make it like Dances with Wolves, where you're just like trying to reference like real events too much, and it's like too blatantly over the top and obvious, where it's like, you don't have to like really try. Like we see the subtle undertones. Like you don't have to try and make it too obvious.
Yeah,
They should do every human event in the Apes universe, like Deflate Gate, but with apes or
the flape. Oh my God. You know, that other movie that I saw, and I saw it in theaters, I did enjoy it. It's just, it was very weird with the making him like MLK. But also, it was very generic because the bad guy is the ape with the giant scar on his face. You know, you just knew that he was going to be the one to betray Caesar and stuff like that. So I don't know. It just, like, it looks cool. And I'm glad that they give Andy Serkis plenty of work, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
It's
the
just.
story is just lacking. Like they don't have enough depth to them, especially with the amount of movies they've come out with. You'd think there would be more to the story, but there really isn't. And it's just like they just piecemeal the story out, just barely give you anything. Meanwhile, it's like you have like the Marvel universe, and there's tons of characters, there's tons of story, there's so many things that are happening and different characters that are happening, where it's like Planet of the Apes, you're like, shit, how do you have this many movies but nothing happening for most of them?
What if they interact with another planet that evolved from a different thing? You know, like lizard people, Dave, you would hate that, right?
Oh,
That would be
reptile.
bad.
What about like dinosaurs, like the one from the early 90s, the TV show?
Yeah, there you go.
Dinosaur. I'm the baby.
Oh,
There's a
man.
book called Children of Time, and the main plot is that these scientists, I think like Earth is dying or whatever, who knows, but like these scientists like are seeding a planet with monkeys, and they're like giving some sort of drug or I don't know, virus, or I don't remember even what it was, but some sort of thing that would like infect the monkeys that would make them like their growth, their intelligence just increase at like an extremely rapid pace. But like the monkeys died on the way down or something. So all like these like spider like things like got all this like brain drug. And it's like showing spiders getting smarter and smarter over like the generations. And it's like freaky, but like a really cool book.
Holy shit. What's that? What is it called?
Children of Time.
Children of Time. Should have called it Spider Planet of the Spiders.
Should have been like a web of time, some kind of play on words.
Ah, Web of
Yeah.
Time. That's good. All right. Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say I probably won't read the book, but if they made a movie, I would probably watch it.
A movie where they have to describe the inner thoughts of spiders.
You could have voice actors doing the inner monologues.
Yeah, all right. A segue challenge.
Get your
Podcast of the
topic off of me, you
Apes.
damn dirty podcast.
Right, I will go here. Let's talk about my love. I love massages. And I've had a massage, and that maybe professionally once, maybe at a mall. I don't know. I'm not too clear about that. But I know that, like, I don't know if anyone's hated a massage. Maybe if you're like homophobic and a man has his hands on you or something and
Oh, sick.
you think something moved, as giving a massage, I do like that because, again, people like it. I've massaged some girls, never a guy, actually. Come to think of it. Nothing opposed to that
Well, next time I
because
come visit, Vince, go know.
I'm going to be like Buster Bluth, just like always, like at your shoulders. But what I'm getting at is, like, I know people like them, and I've gotten some, but I was interested so much that I actually went to school to be a massage therapist. I think it was
I
like
did
two
not know that.
2008, 2009, something like that, when the economy fell apart. But this is like right before it happened. And I'm like, you know what? I've been putting this aside. I've said I was going to go to college after high school, but I wanted to take some time off, do my thing, and blah, blah, blah. I'm ready to become a massage therapist. So I sign up. I'm doing my generals, and then the economy collapses, and they're like, we no longer have that in the school.
Wow, they
We
dropped the
don't.
whole major.
Yeah. And I'm like, so what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I'm getting my generals done. And yeah, I was like completely deflated. I was like, oh, well, I guess this is God's way of saying keep your hands to yourself or something. Just like, go back to whatever it is you were doing. I'm like, all right, I guess I will. So yeah, I just never tried for it again. I was just like, what other sign do I need? So I eventually left. And something happened year a couple of years later. I would actually break my hand, like my pinky bone. And it's just not the same. It hasn't been the same since. I've even lost my knuckle. And I would assume if I were to get back into that game, that would just affect it a lot, you know? That's just something, the wear and tear. It's already torn. It's already worn and stuff if I were to get into it now. Because I don't mind that. I like the idea of like making someone feel better, like massage therapists, like actually like, you know, like helping out. But I probably will never do that. So, yeah, what do you guys have to say about massages?
Never gotten like a real professional one as far as I know. And I feel like maybe there's different kinds, but like those can actually be like painful and like meant to really work your muscles in a way that they haven't been worked before. I'll definitely enjoy, like a casual massage. And then this doesn't happen so much anymore, but like I used to get like a knot in my back quite often, and sometimes like the only way to get rid of it is to just have somebody work it out for you, and that's always such a relief. I think I did one of those water massages at like the mall or something before, and that was okay, but then like apparently I had ticklish feet, and every time it got down to my feet, it made like made me squirm with delight.
Utter delight.
And I can't imagine being a professional massage giver. Like, I feel like either you have to like figure out a strategy to just make your hands last all day, like, and there was a alternate universe where you could have explained that to us, but
Yeah, I wish I could have learned something, but I was just like, you know, doing English class and stuff like that, you know? It was just like, what's the point? Like, just show me something. Oh my God. Ooh, massage chairs. That could be fun, right? Dave, what do you have to say about massages? And would you go to my shop if I were to start one? It would be called Wandering Hands.
I would have to wear a chastity belt or something before I went there, just in case. I really like them, but I've only had like two professional massages in my entire life, just because it's just a money thing where it's like, you guys charge how much? Like, oh, I'm not gonna pay for that. If I had like extra money, then I would, because Brooke and my wife and I had a couples massage that we got for like Christmas or something, and it was like a whole like spa treatment for like an hour and a half or something, where you go in and then they'll make you some hot tea, and then you'll go into like a hot tub, and they're like, there's scented candles or something, or not scented candles, but like the essential oils or whatever that's heated up, and it's relaxing. You sit in the hot tub a little while, and then you go over to another room, and there's just like there's humidifiers with like the essential oils in it, like misting into the air. And then eventually they take you back, and then you do like the actual massage part where you go into the dark room. And like I'm laying on one table, my wife's laying on the other table, and there's two masseuses in there. And it's weird because they're like, they ask you, kind of like, like easy, medium, or hard, like how rough do you want me to be? And
Extra
then,
crispy.
yeah, it's so I'm just like medium, and then I was like, go a little bit harder. It's like, but you don't want to like a super hard massage unless like I think you go to the gym and you have a lot of muscles or something. Because like I don't work out. Like if you push on my back, like there's not a whole lot of much muscle. It's just you're pushing fat and bone. Like that's all I got there. So like it's not a whole lot of kinks you can really work out. Just But it like they really feel good. Like they're super relaxing. I had one, I went on a vacation to Mexico, and they had like a tent on the beach, and you pay like $25 and they'll massage you for like 25 minutes or something. And you're just listening to the ocean, getting your back rubbed, and it's just like it's so relaxing. Like me and my wife got one, and afterwards, it was like 2 p.m. we're like, do you want to go back up to the room and just take a long nap? And we did, because we were so relaxed from the massage that we just went up to our room and slept for like 3 hours. And we woke up and it was like 5:30, and we're like, okay, we gotta go get dinner. I'm starving. But they're super nice. I've done the aqua massage thing at the gym at like Planet Fitness or the gym I go to. Those are nice, but it's not the same as like having someone actually put their hands on you or like give you a foot rub. That's like another level of like relaxation, because you can't really stimulate that or simulate that with just like some vibrating chair. It's just not the same.
I
When you
remember.
got the couples massage, was it a lady for you and a guy for your wife?
No, they didn't ask. I was expecting them to ask, like, are you okay with San Juan over here getting familiar with your wife? No, it was two women.
I was hoping like you could be like super jealous and like, don't you touch her there.
I do remember one of my favorite parts is getting your thighs massaged. Thigh massage is really good, and it was like something I'd never experienced before.
I remember for a while it was almost like a pickup line, but not I wouldn't open up the conversation. Like, I'm a massage therapist, go to school for it. It wasn't like that. But like, if I was talking to a girl, and they're like, so what are you going to school for or whatever, I could use legitimately say, yeah, massage therapy. So of course they're like, oh, can you give me a massage? And that was your in. But the story, I bring this up because I was like getting girls with this in a way, but there was this one girl that I liked, and she was kind of around, and Jordan, our friend Jordan, when I was away, he used that line on her and he got with her. I was like, you son of a bitch. You
That's
took my girl with my line, you asshole.
my move. You can't use my move.
And he was like, what's that move? Lying? I'm like, yeah, that's right. I did go to school for massage therapy but it was only for like a month or something like that. I don't remember.
So you get her back, and then
Counterclockwise swirl.
you start reading out of your English textbook, and you're like, sorry, this is all I've got so far
Yeah.
in massage school.
Open with a joke, be confident.
Yeah,
Look towards the back of the God damn it. But yeah, Segway challenge. You know what? You're so tense. We gotta go to a different topic. John, I believe.
I love the Japanese television show Somewhere Street. I'm trying to remember how I even learned about it. One of my buddies told me about it, but it's like, I don't know, to me, I don't know the definition of slow television, but it feels like the definition of slow television to me. Basically, they just pick some city somewhere on the planet and they walk around, like they show up at the train station and they just go like, oh, let's look at our map. What do we have to go from here? And you're walking around kind of POV from the camera. But there's like the host or whoever will just strike up conversations with people that they run into. And the ones I've seen, it's always been like a woman's voice speaking English. And then like whatever country they're in, they're usually speaking their own language, and they'll just have like English subtitles. Being it's a Japanese show, I'm always curious like what's actually going on there. Like do they have someone, like, though I watched one last night that was in Florence, Italy. So I'm like, in reality, is the person behind the camera speaking Italian? And they just dub it in whatever language, or do they have like a Japanese person and they're translating? I don't know. But and it's not really about showing you the sights of the city, even though they do that to some degree. Like if there's like a famous church or museum or bridge or that kind of stuff, they'll show you. But it's more about just like striking up conversations with people and going into a business and seeing the very specific craft that they do. One thing I've seen happen multiple times is that they'll just in like someone will be having a wedding and they'll just invite themselves like, "Hey, can I come sit in at your wedding?" And they'll like bring the camera in there and just like record it and stuff, and like, oh, thanks for inviting me to your wedding, and they'll leave, or they'll just go into somebody's yard who's having a party and like just like, you know, it's really, you know, ballsy stuff in my opinion, but it always seems to go over well. And I mean, then it gets dark and the day is over and the episode's over, and that, you know, that's pretty much all it is.
Dang, I tried to watch an episode. I just couldn't. I don't remember what happened, but the videos wouldn't play for me. So I just assumed it was a camera, almost like the Google car, where they're just driving and recording everything. And I thought that was going to be the show, where it's like, oh, just randomly tune into this camera that's just recording and streaming whatever it is that's going on. So that's what I assumed it was going to be like, kind of like, you know, in real time, sort of a show. Does that sound kind of similar?
No, it's definitely, you know, much more personable than that, and it is edited, so like the episode, I don't know, is like half an hour long or whatever it is, and it's basically one day of filming, and they take the best cut from that.
I would describe it, Vince, as like it's like the most generic, like going on a tour. Like if you're like the most like you're stepping off a tour bus and you're going to see a city, it's just like you're just walking around with your camera and your map, and you're just like the generic person who's here like visiting from out of town. And like the voiceover of like the girl who's like walking around asking the questions, it's the same kind of vibe as like Joe Pera
Oh, okay.
and his TV show, where it's like it's so like simple and quaint and nice, and it's just everything is kind of like cheery and happy. And it's like, oh wow, look over there at that fountain. That fountain, it look, oh, it sounds so beautiful. And then they're just walking along and they're like, oh look, someone's hanging laundry from their balcony. Oh, there's a lady up there. Oh, she has a cat. Oh, wow. I bet your cat loves the view up there. And then the lady like says something and she's like, yes, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, bye now. And then they just walk along. And then there's like people like sitting at a table and they're like, oh, hello there. What is that? What is that, a sword? And the guy's like, yeah, this is. And she's like, is this a real sword? He's like, no. He's like, it looks like a sword, but it's not sharp, it's not pointy. They're like, it's for a reenactment or something. And then she just strikes up conversations with these random people on the street. And it's like, it's so like nice, and it's like a weird like ASMR vibe where it's like totally relaxing. Like it's just that Joe Pera vibe that I get from it, where it was really enjoyable to watch. And I was just like, and I just watched like half of an episode, and they're like in Malta. And Malta is like a little tiny island in the Mediterranean that's off of like Sicily and Italy. And it's, I don't know, it was really cool. Like I like the vibe of it, and it's something that like when I watch something, I like to just kind of be like, it takes away like all the like troubles and worries in your life or stress. Like there's no stress in this show. You're just like, oh man, this is so relaxing. It's like getting a massage or being in a hot tub, but like the TV show version of it, where you're like, oh, this is so nice.
Joe Pera, future love. John, are you familiar with Joe Pera?
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh my gosh. Adult Swim. Check his show out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What it's on Amazon or Paramount or I think
HBO.
Amazon, HBO.
Or Max, I guess. Yeah, Max.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool. And you said it's what, half an hour long, John?
Seems right. Maybe they're longer than that. Maybe they're like 40 minutes. But yeah, like I've watched ones for cities I've been to, cities I haven't been to, and they're all enjoyable. And yeah, like Dave really nailed the like interactions and stuff. Like that's literally what the kind of stuff it
That a sword? No, that's a sandwich.
is.
Wow. No, it sounds cool. Like I just for some reason it just didn't let me watch the video. And I always feel weird not doing any research before doing these things. So I was feeling weird.
Yeah, I've just watched like random ones on YouTube, and I don't know if they're officially posted there or if they're freebooted or something, but
Segway challenge.
is that a
Was
segue?
Oh wow. So they say the
Does
segue and then you just go into another topic.
it
Wow, that's fascinating. Wow. All right, let's go ahead, Dave.
I don't even know what my other topic is.
God.
Totally unprepared. Let me pull it
Advent
up here. Ah, yes.
calendars.
All right. I gotta, open up the first day of the month a little. So I had an advent calendar. I'm indifferent to advent calendars, or I'm kind of on the fence. I want to like them so bad, but anytime I bought one, they suck and they're just terrible. I got one at Sam's Club, and an advent calendar, if you don't know, usually it's for the month of December, and you do it as like the build up to Christmas. So starting on the first of the month, there's like a little door you open, and there's like a little piece of candy in there. I got one at Sam's Club. It was a Harry Potter themed, and my wife loves Harry Potter, so we got it. We spent $20 on it, which at the time you don't know what all the little prizes in there are, so you're like, $20, maybe there's lots of cool stuff in here. But like, no, it's all like junk. It's all like little stickers or like little pieces of cardboard with like just something stamped on it where you're like, oh yeah, it's Dobby, or it's like it says 9 3/4. And every day of the month you open it up and you're always disappointed every single day. And I'm like, why are we opening these? So then you'd forget to open it for like 5 days, and you'd open up 5 days worth, and you'd be disappointed at 5 days worth of little trinkets that are in these things. Like when I was a kid, I think we had like a Hershey's Kisses, like a Hershey's Kiss advent calendar, and there was a Hershey's candy in every day of the month. And there was like a, it was like, like a box of chocolates where you had a different chocolate every day. And it was great. Like, I loved it when I was a kid. And if I had kids, I would want to do something like an advent calendar. But I think you have to do like the old fashioned, like handmade, like the wooden advent calendars where you put the actual prize behind the little door. And do it yourself, because like all the ones nowadays are just, it's just like cheap candy or stupid trinkets that aren't any good. And I think if you kind of customized it and made it yourself, you could actually make it good. Because all the ones I seem to buy are kind of trash. But did you guys ever have an advent calendar as a kid?
I have not. The only way I know about it is through Christmas Vacation, that movie, because they would always cut to it, right? Opening up that little door. And I was like, what is that, Mom and Dad? I don't know if they answered either.
I don't think I ever had one as a kid, but I think I knew people who did, and I was so jealous. As an adult, was it last year or the year before, I got the from Costco, they had like a beer advent calendar. So
That sounds cool.
yeah, there was a beer behind every door, but I'm like, I want these to be cold, and I don't have room for a giant thing. So I just like took them all out and put them in my fridge, but then like wrote which order to drink them in. Like, that's just too
Like
good,
put it
man.
out, you gotta put it in your garage where it's cold. If you live in northern Minnesota, that's
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. And then our garage is too cold, and they probably would have exploded. One time I did a work training and gave, and someone as a gift afterwards gave me an advent calendar of chocolate, and they knew I was vegan and they didn't want to get me milk chocolate. So it was like 100% chocolate little pieces, which I don't know if you've ever had that, but it's like there is no joy in 100% chocolate. It is like bitter and, but somehow like I'm like, well, this was a nice thing. I'm gonna eat all these. And I did kind of acquire a taste for it by the end. Not that I would ever get just 100% chocolate to enjoy, but I can do like 80, 85% I can find enjoyable. I love in the movie Bad Santa, Billy Bob Thornton gets like one night he's drunk and he just like rips the kid's advent calendar apart and eats all the chocolate. And then later he feels bad about it and he like tapes it back together and the kid opens the door and it's like an aspirin or just like all this other random stuff he just finds and shoves in there. And he's like, can't all be winners, kid.
I'm kind of surprised that there was a Harry Potter advent calendar because, like, weren't the Christians like, oh, that's witchery? That's, they're doing black magic, those Harry Potter books. That's what I
Yeah,
thought. I
but
thought,
now the
yeah.
Christians like her because she's anti-trans,
Oh,
so.
that's right.
I know with the dark chocolate stuff, I remember when I was a kid, like my mom had like a bar of like Baker's chocolate where it's like I don't know if it was 100%, but it was at least 85% like cocoa. And like when you're a kid, you're just like starved for chocolate or candy. And you're like, I'm looking through the cupboard and I'm like, what's this? It's chocolate. So then I'm like, okay. And I'd like take a sharp knife and try and shave some or cut a little piece off. And then I put it in my mouth and it was like, oh, I just wanted to vomit. It was like eating like, I don't know, like coffee grounds or something.
You're like an alcoholic, like looking at that cough syrup. Like, yeah, this will do the trick.
The hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Anything else? Segway challenge? I believe this is the last door, right?
Yes.
Just open that little door. All right, I will go. I want to talk about, I think I wrote this down as indifferent. I'm leaning towards ambivalent now, but I'm indifferent to being homeschooled or just homeschool in general, I guess. So I was homeschooled during middle school, those grades 6 through 8. So yeah, I wasn't always one of those weirdos. I feel like homeschooled people get a bad rap as being weird and stuff. And hey, maybe I am because it was such a weird adjustment to go back to public school in high school. I get back there and like, oh, I recognize everyone's faces except they're just a little bit bigger now, and but they have these attitudes. Like everyone's way more like fucking, I don't know, with an edge or something. No one's the same. And I just remember having this weird thing where I w wasn't necessarily familiar with all the social cues, because it's just me and my family all the time. And for those 3 years. And when I was being homeschooled, like my mom brought it up. She was like, I was in grade 5, and of course I didn't fucking like school. I never have really. And she's like, hey, what if we do homeschooling? I'm like, yes, oh my God, like thank you, let's do that. And so that was cool. And I remember us buying books and like all this little stuff, like telescopes, and it was kind of fun being taught by my mom and learning with my brothers and sisters. But that adjustment back was rough, man. I had like severe social anxiety during my freshman year. Like, I barely remember anything. I think I just stared at the fucking floor the entire time because I'm like, I can't handle all these people. And that's always been a thing, anyways. But that was freshman year was brutal. But yeah, I learned some stuff. I think I am a little different because of that. And I want to ask you guys, Could you tell I was homeschooled? Because sometimes you can. Yeah, what do you guys say?
No, I was surprised actually by this. I never knew that about you even now. I've never been homeschooled, but I did go to the Lutheran school, and so I had
Your
some
mom was a
sort of
teacher, right?
yeah. So first of all, just in general, I had a transition from like a small private religious school to a public high school. And then yeah, my mom was my teacher for third, fourth, and fifth grade because they only have like four teachers in the whole school. So while I wasn't homeschooled, I was taught by a parent for 3 years, but you know, with other kids around. I think that's the main reason homeschool kids turn out weird, I think, though, is because they're just not around other kids that aren't part of their family. So, you know, like you can think a lot of stuff in your house is normal until you hang out with other kids and they tell you what a fucking weirdo you are for for doing those normal things that your family does.
Right. Dave, would you do you know anyone who's been homeschooled? Would you have homeschooled yourself?
Like I when I was a kid, I like went to kindergarten in Augusta, and then in first grade I went to Osseo, and just switching schools, I thought it was horrible, and I thought the new teachers were super mean, all the kids were super mean, and like we just like I remember me and my sisters would beg my mom like, please homeschool us, like I don't want to go, and my mom like she was so kind to us. She didn't homeschool us, but like we would complain about that stuff, and she like allowed us to complain about that stuff. And I feel like if I was a parent like that, I would be like, no, shut up. You're going to school. Like, sit down. Like, shut up. Listen to your teachers. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks for everybody. Like my sisters, I have two sisters, and they both homeschool their kids.
Oh, wow.
And their kids are the most well-behaved, well-adjusted, normal, super smart, super thoughtful, super kind, and they're not weird in any way. And like I'm really like confused by that because I've always lived my life thinking like homeschool kids always turn out to be weirdos. But then as I've met more people, you kind of learn that like the weird homeschool kids are just weird because their parents are weird, and that like kind of trickles down to the kids. But if you have like normal parents who like my sisters are both like very normal people, there's like, and I just like normal in like they've gone to college, they're intelligent. There's a lot of like homeschooled people where like the parents aren't intelligent at all, like no street smarts, no book smarts. And they're trying to teach their kids, but like they don't have any like foundation in like any, they have no knowledge of anything. So how are they going to be able to teach anything? But if you do have intelligent parents, like you can have homeschooled kids that are very smart. But yeah, it just comes down to the teacher you have, because like if you only have one teacher and it's a bad teacher, like you're screwed. But like in public school, if you have a bad teacher, it's like, well, that sucks for that year, but you'll get a better teacher next year, odds are, you know. Like I would never homeschool my own kids just 'cause I feel like it'd be a lot of work. And but my sisters, they love it because they're like, we can do all of their schoolwork and they'll be done before noon. They'll start at 8 o'clock and they'll be done by 11:30. They're like 3.5 hours, and they've done more than the kids at public school have done. And they don't have summer vacation or Christmas vacation, so they're able to fit in more work throughout the school year. They set up the schedule for their kids, so they like basically they're done with their high school stuff by the time they're like 16 or 15. And then like now, like my nephew, he's going to college, and like He's like super well adjusted. He's like smarter than I am. He's 19. I'm 38. He's 20 years younger than me, and he's way smarter than I was back then. He's smarter than I am now. So I'm just like, wow, like this is like best case scenario. And it doesn't always work out that way because there's plenty of homeschool kids who are just the weirdest people ever. And Vince, I had no idea. I don't ever remember hearing that you're homeschooled because you seem like a public school kid to me. Just a normie.
Yes, I hide it well. I pass for a public school kid.
I think your point about the parents being weirdos, though, like I bet that has a lot to do with it. Like if you're homeschooling your kids because you don't want them mind controlled by the reptilians or whatever, you're probably gonna have like a much different experience than someone else.
That's true. I think that was one of her main reasons, my mom. She was like, I just don't think they're getting taught the right way or being reached or, like she just didn't feel like that was being done. And looking back, I probably could have stayed and just kept, experienced the brutalities of middle school with my friends, but I didn't. So I don't know. I always felt a little bit behind, not severely so, but I just felt like, spending those 3 years just with my mom and my siblings just created a different person. And again, with the social cues and stuff, I'm a late bloomer. I feel like I've always been that way, but that homeschool certainly secured that. It buckled. Yeah, it buckled. Yeah, leave it at that. All
I
right.
feel like I'm super like socially awkward, and I was a very late bloomer as well. And if I was homeschooled, I probably would have been crippled by it because there's no way I would have recovered. Because even like I've always gone to public school, I've had a job. Starting at the age of 15, I was always around people, and it still took me to like 23 before I like finally like had like the ability to just have a conversation with a stranger. Like I was always so shy and awkward, and like it took me forever to get over that. And if I was homeschooled, I don't know if I my personality type, I just it would have been bad for me.
All right. You know what? That's the show. Like, subscribe, comment if you're on YouTube. Go to a few goldilockbears.com. I was Vincent Cloud.
Listen to us in your favorite podcast player. I'm John Nemitz.
Thanks for listening. I'm David Lauer.